listening to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains. I see the phone lines lighting up. I know you want this information. Do you know what a superbug is? Brains, cutting-edge medical science research and development has come straight to us from UCSD's Associate Dean of Global Health Science and author of The Perfect Predictor, Stephanie Stratedy. She will now tell us exactly what we need to do and how we can help ward off the superbug. You know, it's more than some antibiotics and a can of Raid to kill this one. Stephanie is the Associate Dean of Global Health Science at UCSD School of Medicine and the co-director at the Center for Innovative Phage Application and Therapy. HIV research and preventative programs in Tijuana. I want to introduce her to you so that we can really talk about what is the superbug, what does that mean, how is that bug resistant from antibiotics, what we need to know and to take better care of ourselves. And I want to welcome her to the edge. Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning, April, and good morning, Brains. And just one correction, the book that we just wrote is called The Perfect Predator. The Perfect Predator, a scientist raised to save her husband from a deadly superbug. So as you can tell, I had a firsthand experience here.
Yeah, right. So we want to jump right into that because when I heard Stephanie speak at my networking group, I mean, my mouth just would not close because I, too, am very susceptible to infections. And so this really kind of scared me, but it also gave me a heightened sense of awareness. So tell us about you and your story and your experience.
Well, I'm an infectious disease epidemiologist, and I trained at the University of Toronto, and I've been at the University of California, San Diego for the last 15 years. And I've mostly focused my research on HIV prevention, and so is my husband. We work together, especially on the Mexico-U.S. border. And while we were traveling in Egypt on holiday in November 2015, around Thanksgiving, my husband suddenly got mysteriously ill and violently ill. He was throwing up, and we thought he had food poisoning. But it turned out that he had an inflammation of the pancreas, and it was brought on by a gallstone that's stuck in his bile duct. And we thought, okay, well, we'll just take that out, and he'll be fine, right? Well, wrong, because a giant abscess had formed inside his abdomen, and inside that moved a giant superbug that is just was resistant to all antibiotics.
Wow, that is crazy. So what happened to Tom as a result of all of that? I mean, I know that he was really sick, but how did the superbug come into play?
Well, superbugs are bacteria that are resistant to multiple antibiotics, and unfortunately, due to our overuse of antibiotics, not just in people but in livestock, we are now seeing superbugs are a global health crisis. Right now, about 1.5 million people per year are dying from superbugs, but by the year 2050, it's thought that that will be 10 million people per year, and all of a sudden, my husband looked like he was going to be one of them. And he was hallucinating. He was just in and out of a coma. We had him medevaced home to San Diego, where we have the top infectious disease doctors in the world. And they basically said, this is resistant to everything. You know, we don't have any modern medicine to cure this thing. And little by little, he was dying.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And so you got some assistance from some top-notch specialists here in San Diego, and you found out that working with phage therapy might be the antidote and the cure to help Tom recover. Tell us about that.
Well, when the doctors told me that there was nothing else they could do, my husband, you know, squeezed my hand when I asked him if he wanted to live. It was just, you know, a gut-wrenching moment, but I realized that I needed to take matters into my own hands, and even though I'm not a medical doctor, I went home, and I started, you know, researching alternative treatments on the internet. There's something called PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D. This is a good tip out there, brains. If you want to, you know, research some medicine or science, you can go to PubMed. It's a free search engine that was developed by the National Library of Medicine, and scientists use it all the time. So that's where I went. I punched in the name of a superbug, alternative treatments, and up popped a paper with this obscure therapy called phage therapy, which is short for bacteriophage therapy. So do you want me to tell everybody what that is, April?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty crazy story, but phages or bacteriophages are viruses that have naturally evolved to attack bacteria. So there's thought to be 10 million, trillion phages on the planet, and they're ubiquitous. They're in soil, they're in water, they're in our guts. Wherever you find a lot of bacteria, you find a lot of phage, because phage are the perfect predator that gobbles them up. And so I contacted researchers around the U.S. and elsewhere that were studying phage therapy, and they offered to help. In fact, a Texas A&M researcher, Dr. Rai Young, turned his lab into a command center. We had a graduate student there who I didn't even know. She, you know, slept in the lab hunting for phage. And the phage actually came from sewage, because that's where a lot of bacteria are. So you find a lot of phage in sewage as well. So I can literally say my husband is full of So
wow.
Anyway, we were able, with the help not just of Texas A&M, but researchers from all across the globe, Switzerland, Belgium, India, offered help. And even the U.S. Navy got involved, and they made a phage cocktail, as did the Texas group. And now, within 3 weeks of my first email, we had two phage cocktails that were ready to save Tom's life, and we got them just in the nick of time, because he was in what's called multi-system organ failure, which meant his heart was failing, his lungs were failing, and now his kidneys were starting to fail. So nobody knew whether or not this was going to work, because we injected these legions of viruses into his body. And 3 days after we did that, he woke up from a coma, lifted his head off the pillow, and kissed his daughter's hand.
Wow. Don't tell me miracles can't happen.
It was.
That,
but you know,
incredible.
Sometimes miracles are made, and that's what this case is about, is that, you know, total strangers stepped up to save the life of one man, and we're clearly really privileged that we were able to, you know, get the kind of help we could, and one of the reasons we decided to write our book, The Perfect Predator, is because most of the people who are dying of superbug infections are in developing countries, and they don't have access. So our goal now is to try to move phage therapy into clinical trials, to get it approved alongside antibiotics, and then we will hopefully be able to be in a better position to tackle the global superbug crisis.
So when you talk about the different type of antibiotics and things to help people recover from this, what is the phage portion? Now, you said there's antibiotics, but this is a different type of therapy. What does it actually do? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, well, antibiotics are basically derived from natural products. So some of them are actually found in soil or in, you know, the sea and things like that. But they're not alive anymore. They may have been derived from a mold, for example. But these phages, I mean, there's a debate as to whether viruses are alive or dead. But basically, they multiply, right? So you know that you might be injecting a billion phages per dose into Tom to try to save his life, but you don't actually know how many viruses are getting to the source of the infection, because they're multiplying inside him. So that's what's really interesting. And they don't actually attack other bacteria, so they're very specific. Phages are, you know, kind of hone in on the bacteria that they match to. And if there's no other bacteria there that match them, then they're just excreted from the body naturally. And they don't have all of the other, you know, side effects that antibiotics do, because many antibiotics kill all the bacteria or a large number of them. And that includes the friendly microbes that upset our microbiome.
Wow. So now you're talking about clinical trials. In these clinical trials, I want to reach out to diversity and to different ethnicities. You know, it is not something that you really find a large participation in, and I'm really encouraging people to get involved in these clinical trials because we do live globally. We are a part of this planet, but we are very diverse. Do you you know, do you see this really kind of reaching out and being promoted to a global community? I know that you're doing a lot of work externally, internationally, but here in the United States, don't we want to encourage that as well?
Absolutely. I mean, we are going to be launching two clinical trials hopefully this year. They'll be small in nature, but our goal is to be able to ensure that we have a representative, sample, and that includes reaching out to underrepresented minorities, women and men, and even children. So the first trials might, be very small, but after those are finished, then we hope to launch larger trials. And if phage therapy is shown to be efficacious, then the FDA will have the information it needs to decide whether or not to license it. And that's our goal.
Okay. All right. Well, I definitely want to keep people informed and keep them, as we say, on post with regards to the information. Now, you're originally from Toronto, Canada, and I love me some Canadians. Shout out to all my Canadians. Tell us a little bit about your growing up there in Canada. What do you like to do? I know you just came back from vacation, holiday, visiting your family. What did you like doing, and what do you miss most about Canada?
Well, yeah, I am. I'm from Scarborough, Ontario. I went to the University of Toronto, and in fact, on my trip that just a few days ago, I was reacquainted with my virology professor, and it was in virology class that I first heard of phages. And if I hadn't listened in that class, I probably wouldn't have twigged on it when I came across it in the literature.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it was really a thrill because, you know, he said, wow, I never thought that a class that I taught like 35 years later would end up, you know, helping save somebody's life. So that was exciting. In Canada, you know, growing up, I loved nature. So I have a little club called Help Animals with Kindness or HAWK. And my girlfriends and I used to go around and save tadpoles and monarch butterflies and things like that. And I still love nature. My husband and I go on vacation still all over the world. We're not deterred by the fact that he caught a superbug in Egypt. You can get them anywhere. And we just came back from bird watching in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow. That's on my life list. I definitely want to go to Costa Rica. You mentioned something. You talked about you're not afraid to travel. And when I travel, I pack all of my, antibiotics and, hand sanitizers and all of these different things because it is different. The water is different. The food is different, how the food is prepared, the hygiene, all of that. Can you tell us a little bit about how we can kind of be more aware? You can never really truly safeguard yourself from anything because, like you said, you can contract it anywhere. But can you give us some suggestions, and can you also speak to these antibiotic hand sanitizers and soaps that people are just obsessed with?
Sure. Well, I think the most important thing to know is that, superbugs are everywhere these days because we're in a globalized world. And the most important thing that you can do is, personally, is to wash your hands really well with soap and water. If you're going to use hand sanitizers, make sure that you don't use the kind that include triclosan. That's spelled triclosan, because that ingredient has actually been shown to make bacteria resist antibiotics. And so it's going to make matters worse and not better. So there's people who work in the microbiome area who believe a little bit of dirt is a good thing. It helps, prime your immune system. But in terms of other things that you can do, you can buy meat that is free of antibiotics. So that's generally organic meat. It tastes better, and there are companies now like McDonald's and Purdue that are starting to, use chicken products that are free of antibiotics, but where it's a lot slower in the beef and pork industry. So, you know, you have the purchasing power to make decisions and work, you know, and lobby with your policymakers and tell them that you're concerned about the superbug crisis. I mean, the WHO, which is the World Health Organization, and the CDC in the United States, that's the Centers for Disease Control, they think that the superbug crisis is a bigger and more immediate threat to human health in our lifetimes than climate change. And, you know, here I was, an infectious disease epidemiologist. I didn't really appreciate that. So if I didn't, I figured that the rest of the people out there don't either, and that's one of the reasons we wrote our book.
Wow. You tapped on something else, antibiotics in food, in the beef and cattle industry. I just had a wonderful animal chiropractor on there, and she was talking a little bit about that as well. But is that is also making us, because we're consuming it, that is making us resistant to antibiotics? And why are they giving that to animals? I heard that it's not so much that the animals are sick, but it's to encourage their growth.
That's exactly right, April. So brains, in this situation, we're sometimes using the same antibiotics in animals that we are in people. And that's a bad idea, because that means that we're going to be promoting multidrug-resistant bacteria. First, the food handlers, you know, and the farm handlers, and, you know, it passes through the chain. So there's been studies done of people with urinary tract infections in hospitals, and they have the exact same bacteria as the chickens on the farms down the road.
Wow. That is super scary. So is there anything that we can do to safeguard ourselves? You know, like I said, washing our hands really well, just, you know, and not being overly paranoid either. Like you said, you can't not travel, because things are going to happen to you if they're going to happen. But you just want to be conscious. You want to be aware. And you want to definitely, you know, get involved in clinical trials so that we have a random sampling of everyone so that we can support everyone. And we want to get a copy of your book. Tell my brains how to get a copy of your book and how to contact you, Stephanie.
Sure. Well, our book is called The Perfect Predator, A Scientist's Race to Save Her Husband from a Deadly Superbug. You can go to theperfectpredator.com and find out places where you can purchase it. Our center, which is the first dedicated phage therapy center in North America that we just opened at UC San Diego last summer, that website is iPath. At UC, oh, the email is ipath@ucsd.edu, and the web address is ipath.ucsd.edu, and that has lots of information on phage therapy and more of the science if you'd like to get into that.
Well, I think that it's absolutely phenomenal, and I didn't want to conclude this interview without letting people know that you have been named by People Magazine as one of the, or no, Time Magazine, by one of the top 50. Is that correct?
Well, one of the top 50 people who influence healthcare in last year, yeah. I was pretty amazed. But, I mean, I'm not stopping now. I mean, what we've got to do is raise awareness and get our policymakers to stop overusing antibiotics. And Europe is way ahead of the U.S. in that regard.
Well, I bet. And so now my brains are right up there with them. I want to thank you, Stephanie, for coming here on The Edge, taking time out of your research, working with phage therapy to kill the superbug and really in betterment all humankind all over the world. I think that you're a rock star. Brains, go out and get the book. It is absolutely phenomenal. I'm in the middle of my read right now, and I will circle back and give you my thoughts at the conclusion. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for coming here on The Edge. Is there anything else you'd like to share with my brains?
Well, hi, brains. It's been a wonderful opportunity having a chance to talk to you all. I hope to see you on the flip side.
All right. So go back and listen to other edgy conversations here on The Edge. You can find us all over the planet. We are on LinkedIn, Spotify, Twitter, Instagram, all the great places. I'm going to replay this interview over and over again until we kill that superbug. Be good, be kind, be love, and thank you so much again for tuning into The Edge. And thank you, Stephanie. You always are welcome here on our home.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, April. Bye, brains.
Bye, brains. Have a good day. HIV research and preventative programs in Tijuana. I want to introduce her to you so that we can really talk about what is the superbug, what does that mean, how is that bug resistant from antibiotics, what we need to know and to take better care of ourselves. And I want to welcome her to the Edge. Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning, April, and good morning, Brains. And just one correction, the book that we just wrote is called The Perfect Predator. A scientist raised to save her husband from a deadly superbug. So as you can tell, I had a firsthand experience here.
Yeah, right. So we want to jump right into that because when I heard Stephanie speak at my networking group, I mean, my mouth just would not close because I, too, am very susceptible to infections. And so this really kind of scared me, but it also gave me a heightened sense of awareness. So tell us about you and your story and your experience.
Well, I'm an infectious disease epidemiologist, and I trained at the University of Toronto, and I've been at the University of California, San Diego for the last 15 years. And I've mostly focused my research on HIV prevention, and so has my husband. We work together, especially on the Mexico-U.S. border. And while we were traveling in Egypt on holiday in November 2015, around Thanksgiving, my husband suddenly got mysteriously ill and violently ill. He was throwing up, and we thought he had food poisoning. But it turned out that he had an inflammation of the pancreas, and it was brought on by a gallstone that's stuck in his bile duct. And we thought, okay, well, we'll just take that out, and he'll be fine, right? Well, wrong, because a giant abscess had formed inside his abdomen, and inside that moved a giant superbug that is just was resistant to all antibiotics.
Wow, that is crazy. So what happened to Tom as a result of all of that? I mean, I know that he was really sick, but how did the superbug come into play?
Well, superbugs are bacteria that are resistant to multiple antibiotics. And unfortunately, due to our overuse of antibiotics, not just in people but in livestock, we are now seeing superbugs are a global health crisis. Right now, about 1.5 million people per year are dying from superbugs. But by the year 2050, it's thought that that will be 10 million people per year. And all of a sudden, my husband looked like he was going to be one of them. And he was hallucinating. He was just in and out of a coma. We had him medevaced home to San Diego, where we have the top infectious disease doctors in the world. And they basically said, this is resistant to everything. You know, we don't have any modern medicine to cure this thing. And little by little, he was dying.
Wow. And so you got some assistance from some top-notch specialists here in San Diego, and you found out that working with phage therapy might be the antidote and the cure to help Tom recover. Tell us about that.
Well, when the doctors told me that there was nothing else they could do, my husband, you know, squeezed my hand when I asked him if he wanted to live. It was just, a gut-wrenching moment that I realized that I needed to take matters into my own hands. And even though I'm not a medical doctor, I went home and I started, you know, researching alternative treatments on the internet. There's something called PubMed, P-U-B-M-E-D. This is a good tip out there, Brains. If you want to, research some medicine or science, you can go to PubMed. It's a free search engine that was developed by the National Library of Medicine, and scientists use it all the time. So that's where I went. I punched in the name of a superbug, alternative treatments, and up popped a paper with this obscure therapy called phage therapy, which is short for bacteriophage therapy. So do you want me to tell everybody what that is, April?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty crazy story, but phages or bacteriophages are viruses that have naturally evolved to attack bacteria. So there's thought to be 10 million trillion phages on the planet, and they're ubiquitous. They're in soil, they're in water, they're in our guts. Wherever you find a lot of bacteria, you find a lot of phage because phage are the perfect predator that gobbles them up. And so I contacted researchers around the U.S. and elsewhere that were studying phage therapy, and they offered to help. In fact, Texas A&M researcher Dr. Rye Young turned his lab into a command center. We had a graduate student there who I didn't even know. She, you know, slept in the lab hunting for phage. Mm. And the phage actually came from sewage because that's where a lot of bacteria are. So you find a lot of phage in sewage as well. So I can literally say my husband is full of So
wow.
Anyway, we were able, with the help not just of Texas A&M, but researchers from all across the globe, Switzerland, Belgium, India, offered help. And even the U.S. Navy got involved, and they made a phage cocktail, as did the Texas group. And now, within 3 weeks of my first email, we had two phage cocktails that were ready to save Tom's life, and we got them just in the nick of time because he was in what's called multi-system organ failure, which meant his heart was failing, his lungs were failing, and now his kidneys were starting to fail. So nobody knew whether or not this was going to work because we injected these legions of viruses into his body. And 3 days after we did that, he woke up from a coma, lifted his head off the pillow, and kissed his daughter's hand.
Wow. Don't tell me miracles can't happen.
It was.
That
but, you know,
incredible.
Sometimes miracles are made, and that's what this case is about, is that, you know, total strangers stepped up to save the life of one man, and we're clearly really privileged that we were able to, you know, get the kind of help we could, and one of the reasons we decided to write our book, The Perfect Predator, is because most of the people who are dying of superbug infections are in developing countries, and they don't have access, so our goal now is to try to move phage therapy into clinical trials to get it approved alongside antibiotics, and then we will hopefully be able to be in a better position to tackle the global superbug crisis.
So when you talk about the different type of antibiotics and things to help people recover from this, what is the phage portion? Now, you said there's antibiotics, but this is a different type of therapy. What does it actually do? Does that question make sense?
Yeah, well, antibiotics are basically derived from natural products. So some of them are actually found in soil or in, you know, the sea and things like that. But they're not alive anymore. They may have been derived from a mold, for example. But these phages, I mean, there's a debate as to whether viruses are alive or dead. But basically, they multiply, right? So you know that you might be injecting a billion phages per dose into Tom to try to save his life. But you don't actually know how many viruses are getting to the source of the infection because they're multiplying inside him. So that's what's really interesting. And they don't actually attack other bacteria. So they're very specific. Phages are, you know, kind of hone in on the bacteria that they match to. And if there's no other bacteria there that match them, then they're just excreted from the body naturally. And they don't have all of the other, you know, side effects that antibiotics do, because many antibiotics kill all the bacteria or a large number of them. And that includes the friendly microbes that upset our microbiome.
Wow. So now you're talking about clinical trials. In these clinical trials, I want to reach out to diversity and to different ethnicities. You know, it is not something that you really find a large participation in, and I'm really encouraging people to get involved in these clinical trials because we do live globally. We are a part of this planet, but we are very diverse. Do you do you see this really kind of reaching out and being promoted to a global community? I know that you're doing a lot of work externally, internationally, but here in the United States, don't we want to encourage that as well?
Absolutely. I mean, we are going to be launching two clinical trials, hopefully this year. They'll be small in nature, but our goal is to be able to ensure that we have a representative, sample, and that includes reaching out to underrepresented minorities, women and men, and even children. So the first trials might, you know, be very small, but after those are finished, then we hope to launch larger trials. And if phage therapy is shown to be efficacious, then the FDA will have the information it needs to decide whether or not to license it. And that's our goal.
Okay. All right. Well, I definitely want to keep people informed and keep them, as we say, on post with regards to the information. Now, you're originally from Toronto, Canada, and I love me some Canadians. Shout out to all my Canadians. Tell us a little bit about your growing up there in Canada. What do you like to do? I know you just came back from vacation, holiday, visiting your family. What did you like doing, and what do you miss most about Canada?
Well, yeah, I'm from Scarborough, Ontario. I went to the University of Toronto, and in fact, on my trip that just a few days ago, I was reacquainted with my virology professor, and it was in virology class that I first heard of phages. And if I hadn't listened in that class, I probably wouldn't have twigged on it when I came across it in the literature.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it was really a thrill because, you know, he said, wow, I never thought that a class that I taught like 35 years later would end up, you know, helping save somebody's life. So that was exciting. In Canada, you know, growing up, I loved nature. So I have a little club called Help Animals with Kindness or HAWK. And my girlfriends and I used to go around and save tadpoles and monarch butterflies and things like that. And I still love nature. My husband and I go on vacation still all over the world. We're not deterred by the fact that he caught a superbug in Egypt. You can get them anywhere. And we just came back from bird watching in Costa Rica.
Oh, wow. That's on my life list. I definitely want to go to Costa Rica. You mentioned something. You talked about you're not afraid to travel. And when I travel, I pack all of my, you know, antibiotics and, you know, hand sanitizers and all of these different things because it is different. The water's different. The food is different, how the food is prepared, the hygiene, all of that. Can you tell us a little bit about how we can kind of be more aware? You can never really truly safeguard yourself from anything because, like you said, you can contract it anywhere. But can you give us some suggestions, and can you also speak to these antibiotic hand sanitizers and soaps that people are just obsessed with?
Sure. Well, I think the most important thing to know is that, you know, superbugs are everywhere these days because we're in a globalized world. And the most important thing that you can do is, personally, is to wash your hands really well with soap and water. If you're going to use hand sanitizers, make sure that you don't use the kind that include triclosan. That's spelled triclosan, because that ingredient has actually been shown to make bacteria resist antibiotics. And so it's going to make matters worse and not better. So there's people who work in the microbiome area who believe a little bit of dirt is a good thing. It helps, you know, prime your immune system. But in terms of other things that you can do, you can buy meat that is free of antibiotics. So that's generally organic meat. It tastes better, and there are companies now like McDonald's and Purdue that are starting to, you know, use chicken products that are free of antibiotics, but where it's a lot slower in the beef and pork industry. So, you know, you have the purchasing power to make decisions and work, you know, and lobby with your policymakers and tell them that you're concerned about the superbug crisis. I mean, the WHO, which is the World Health Organization, and the CDC in the United States, that's the Centers for Disease Control, they think that the superbug crisis is a bigger and more immediate threat to human health in our lifetimes than climate change. And, you know, here I was, an infectious disease epidemiologist. I didn't really appreciate that. So if I didn't, I figured that the rest of the people out there don't either, and that's one of the reasons we wrote our book.
Wow. You tapped on something else, antibiotics in food. In the beef and cattle industry, I just had a wonderful animal chiropractor on there, and she was talking a little bit about that as well. But is that is also making us, because we're consuming it, that is making us resistant to antibiotics. And why are they giving that to animals? I heard that it's not so much that the animals are sick, but it's to encourage their growth.
That's exactly right, April. So brains, in this situation, we're sometimes using the same antibiotics in animals that we are in people. And that's a bad idea because that means that we're going to be promoting multidrug-resistant bacteria. First, the food handlers, you know, and the farm handlers, and, you know, it passes through the chain. So there's been studies done of people with urinary tract infections in hospitals, and they have the exact same bacteria as the chickens on the farms down the road.
Wow. That is super scary. So is there anything that we can do to safeguard ourselves? You know, like I said, washing our hands really well, just, you know, and not being overly paranoid either. Like you said, you can't not travel because things are going to happen to you if they're going to happen. But you just want to be conscious. You want to be aware. And you want to definitely, you know, get involved in clinical trials so that we have a random sampling of everyone so that we can support everyone. And we want to get a copy of your book. Tell my brains how to get a copy of your book and how to contact you, Stephanie.
Sure. Well, our book is called The Perfect Predator, A Scientist's Race to Save Her Husband from a Deadly Superbug. You can go to theperfectpredator.com and find out places where you can purchase it. Our center, which is the first dedicated phage therapy center in North America that we just opened at UC San Diego last summer, that website is iPath. At UC, the email is ipath@ucsd.edu, and the web address is ipath.ucsd.edu, and that has lots of information on phage therapy and more of the science if you'd like to get into that.
Well, I think that is absolutely phenomenal, and I didn't want to conclude this interview without letting people know that you have been named by People Magazine as one of the, or no, Time Magazine, by one of the top 50. Is that correct?
Well, one of the top 50 people who influenced healthcare in last year, yeah. I was pretty amazed. But, I mean, I'm not stopping now. I mean, what we've got to do is raise awareness and get our policymakers to stop overusing antibiotics. And Europe is way ahead of the U.S. in that regard.
Well, I bet. And so now my brains are right up there with them. I want to thank you, Stephanie, for coming here on The Edge, taking time out of your research, working with phage therapy to kill the superbug and really in betterment all humankind all over the world. I think that you're a rock star. Brains, go out and get the book. It is absolutely phenomenal. I'm in the middle of my read right now, and I will circle back and give you my thoughts at the conclusion. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for coming here on The Edge. Is there anything else you'd like to share with my brains?
Well, hi, Brains. It's been a wonderful opportunity having a chance to talk to you all. I hope to see you on the flip side.
All right, all right. So go back and listen to other Edgy Conversations here on The Edge. You can find us all over the planet. We are on LinkedIn, Spotify, Twitter, Instagram, all the great places. I'm going to replay this interview over and over again until we kill that superbug. Be good, be kind, be love, and thank you so much again for tuning into The Edge. And thank you, Stephanie. You always are welcome here on our home.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, April. Bye, Brains.
Bye, Brains. Have a good day.